record.
Gotcha.
I had to have a woman fix it. I wasn't smart enough.
Oh, I'm with you. All right, good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I want to talk about a topic that maybe you've never gave much thought to. Maybe you've thought about it, but you don't understand it. Maybe it's something that you're afraid to talk about it. It's the favor of God. How many people here pray for the favor of God? How many people think that that's a selfish thing? My wife and I had a very long discussion about that. She said, you know, Ben, sometimes I don't feel right about asking God for something. I don't feel right about seeking His favor or that I deserve something that, you know, He doesn't just want to give me. You know, and I gave that some thought, and we had talked a little bit more. You know, so many times we associate the favor of God with our obedience. There is no correlation. Praise God for that. God's favor is truly undeserved merit. God's favor is not getting more stuff. God's favor is not getting a leg up on someone you despise. God's favor is not punishing your enemies. God's favor is associated with a purpose. And so many times I think it's our job to seek God's favor, but do it in such a way that it is going to be glorifying to Him. And that's really the goal for my discussion today, because I think a lot of people, the church, you know, a lot of movements in the last 20 years, God's favor has been associated with getting something. That's not God's plan. God's already given us everything we need in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's not to say that God isn't going to bless us with things, but again, there's a purpose associated with that blessing, with that favor. So what I want to do is I want to pray that we have an open heart and open mind, that we truly hear what God's favor is all about here this morning. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come here today, number one, we thank You for being here. It is such an honor to be in Your presence. It's such an honor to come to Your house where Your Holy Spirit is. So many times, Lord, we trod in places that we shouldn't. We go directions that we ought not. Yet, Lord, You just watch and You wait for us to turn around. Lord, I pray that as we're here today that we understand what Your favor looks like. We understand what Your favor means to us. That, Lord, we don't get caught up in the world's view of favor. Things, items, money. Lord, while You bless us with things and items and money, Lord, that is not truly what You are about. You are about loving us for who we are and using us for the purpose in which You've designed us. Lord, I pray as we're here together as Your family, as Your body, as we dive into Your Word, that You help us to understand what favor is. You help us to seek that favor, and You help us just to be the best disciples that we can be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In fact, you know, speaking of misunderstanding, I'm going to start with a story. There was a couple. They decided that, you know, this is a very busy couple. They had busy schedules. They both traveled. Very seldom were they together. And they decided this one hot July that they were going to head to Georgia. I don't know if you've ever been to Georgia in July, but it's not a very cool place to be. But this husband's schedule kind of freed up first, so he decided he'd go down and get the hotel by the beach ready and get everything all set up and squared away. And the wife would you know, kind of join him the next day. So as he got down there, he decides he's going to send his wife an email because they didn't talk a lot. They were, you know, on the road, and that was one of the ways that they communicated. So he sent an email to her, but he did not realize that he mistyped the address. And the address was actually for a widow who had just lost her husband, who was a pastor for over 60 years. And this is how the email went. To my loving wife, from your departed husband. Subject, I've arrived. Obviously, the wife was confused. But she thought, okay. And in the body, it said, I've just arrived and checked in. And I've also seen that everything is being prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I hope your journey is uneventful as mine. P.S. It sure is hot down here. Now, obviously, there's probably many misconceptions in that email that the wife would not have understood. Today, I want to look at the favor of God and the misconceptions. But before we do that, we really need to break down our passage. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 26. I'm going to go through 36. And this is actually the story of the angel coming to Mary. Now, we obviously just celebrated Christmas, and we just went through the whole process of the gifts and understanding the birth of our Savior and all the things that go along with that season. But I want to look at this story because there's a great illustration for all of us in the idea and the concept of favor of God. So starting in verse 26 in Luke chapter 1, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent his angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings to you. You are highly what? Highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" How many people say amen when you hear the Lord is with you? "Mary was greatly troubled." Isn't that funny how that works? You hear you're favored, God is with you, that's probably not good. He said, "You have greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found what? Favor with God.'" And it goes on to say, "You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord. The God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born, he will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said." And then the angel left her. Now we see this very common story. How many people have read this story and never realized that favor was used twice in this context? Now, some of you are thinking, well, yeah, but this is Mary. This is God's great scheme. This is God's plan for bringing Jesus into the world. So it really doesn't apply to me. Because how many people think you're in the same category as Mary, the mother of Jesus? She was human. She was a sinner. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. None. So are we in the same category? Yeah, but Ben, she was bringing Jesus into the world. That's how God's favor works. It's not who you are. It's not what you know. It's not what you have or have not done. It's what God chooses to do in you. The question is, will we receive it? How many people are afraid of the favor of God? Let's be honest. Because we think that there are strings attached, don't we? If I accept the favor of God, I'm on the next boat to Africa. I don't want to be a missionary. Oh, Ben, seriously. How many people are afraid that that favor is going to cause you to do something outside of your comfort zone? You think God, have you ever found the passage, God says, I'll make you comfortable? God said, this will be easy. God says that you've got it all figured out and I'll give you every step every day along the way. Because if you do, I'd like to read it. I'd have never read it. But when we look at Mary, in verse 20, it says that she was highly favored. Verse 29, she becomes greatly troubled. You know, sometimes with the idea of favor, we want to just make it so simple that we cut it down to be what we want it to be. Have you ever done that with a blessing of God? Seriously, let's think about that for a minute. You want God just to answer your prayer the way that you want it, no extras. Or is that just me? Because again, the extras may cost me more than what that blessing that I or the prayer that I really wanted. He tells her not to be afraid. You see, we don't need to be afraid of the favor of God if we truly trust God. How many people here truly trust God? I'm not talking about, well, if I go to church, I won't die in an accident today. I'm talking about that God, no matter what you say to me, no matter what I hear, no matter what I come across in your word, I trust you that you know what's best. At 42, I struggle with that. We're in a transition period in our life. I'm not sure what God is calling us to do. But I know that as long as we are obedient and that we are seeking his favor, the word says that I cannot fail. that I cannot go down a path that I ought not if I truly trust and listen to Him. Because I'll be honest, sometimes I'm arrogant. Well, Ben, come on. Sometimes I think that my bad decision is bigger than the guy that created the world that I live in. Let's think about that. Is that not arrogance? I am bigger. I am stronger. My decisions can be worse than God's grace. How is that possible? Arrogance. And it causes me to live in fear. It causes me to maybe not make the decisions that I probably know I should be making. You ever prayed for something, got an answer, and drug your feet? Am I the only one that has these problems? Maybe y'all should be preaching to me. This is a place of truth. We have to be real. We have to be honest. You know, there's a lot of songs that talk about the church being fake and putting. The problem is people are afraid to come through those doors and be honest where they're at. God doesn't deal in dishonesty or untruth. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you have to be real when you come here. I love what Mary says. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Now, Gabriel, I got an A in biology. How is this possible that I'm going to have a child? Kind of a weird question. Again, we can go 100 ways with that, but we're not going to. God doesn't deal with our limited understanding when it comes to His favor. That's an amen. Because too many times in my life, I have limited the blessing in which God wanted to give me. A, by one willing to accept it. B, I wasn't looking. Or C, I flat just didn't care. So how is that possible? He goes on and say in verse 35 that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will overshadow you. Think about overshadowing for a minute. You ever been overshadowed by somebody? Any of you got older brothers and sisters? They overshadow you. Doesn't matter what you do, it was all about them. Of course, now it's the other way. In our house, it's Carson. He's the baby. He's counting days till everybody's gone. I'm going to have a man cave, have my game room, I'll do whatever I want, and all these kids are out of my house. So he's counting the days. Am I wrong? No comment, see? It's a place of truth here, Pletcher. But to be overpowered by the Holy Spirit simply is an understanding for us that God's got to lead the way. That our favor is associated with a purpose. In the case of Mary, the idea of her favor had to do with the birth of Christ. I love what she says in verse 38. And this is something we need to underline. This is something that we need to adapt in our own life. What does it say in the beginning of verse 38? I am the Lord's servant. You wonder why Mary was highly favored? You want to know why Mary had favor with God? It wasn't because Jesus was rolling through the Rolodex and said, I like Mary. It's because she had the attitude of a servant. What's the problem with that? Probably going to get treated like one. Tough place to live, isn't it? So what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with Ben Pletcher in 2017, Open Arms Christian Church, the people? Why would I bring up Mary? Why would I bring up the idea of favor when it's not associated with stuff? Because I think it's important. I think we live in a time where if the church doesn't step up, we're not going to be found faithful. I think we live in a time where the world needs Jesus Christ more than ever, and the church has fallen farther and farther asleep than it ever has. And it's not just getting people to walk through the doors. It's not just getting people to fill out membership cards. It's not just sending money to missionaries. It's about the church living out their faith, seeking God's favor, and being what they've been called to be. Here's the problem. I'm the church. You can blame me. You can leave and say, that dude don't know what he's talking about. Horrible message. It's fine. Okay. Don't invite me back. It's all right. But when I get up tomorrow, if I'm not seeking God's favor, if I'm not seeking out His will, if I'm not saying, God, I am your servant, how do you want to use me today? I'm missing the boat. Interesting verse. Flip over with me to Luke chapter 2. May take a page or two. Look at verse 52. This is the setting as Jesus obviously took off. He's at the temple. He's teaching. Mary and Joseph realize that he's gone. They find him. They said, don't ever run away again. He says, okay, do that. Verse 52, and this is what it said. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Why is that important to us? Because Jesus was human. We automatically just assume, oh, it's Jesus. He's in a whole other category. He doesn't need God's favor because he's God. Then why would the word say that he grew in wisdom, stature, and favor? Because he had a purpose. Because he was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. God had a plan to use him to save us. We're here today, standing, talking about grace, redemption, the blood of our Savior, because Jesus Christ grew in wisdom, stature, and favor. So what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with you? Isaiah 66, verse 2 says this, my hands have been made both heaven and earth, and they are everything, and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those, or find favor with, those who have humble and contrite hearts and who tremble at my word. God still wants us to seek his favor. God still expects us to grow in wisdom, in stature, and in favor. Some of us here said we're afraid to pray for it. Some of us here are afraid to say it might be too high. The cost might be too great. You ever hear those Bible verses that you don't really care for? Die to self. Sounds great. Pick up your cross, follow me. Good chance. It's not going to be good. Think about the verses that you try to omit. Because you think, well, that doesn't really sound pretty. Or that doesn't really sound exciting. People take favor. And they look at it and say, okay, things aren't going my way. My world's falling apart. Things are going opposite the direction I want to go. God must hate me. James said all good and perfect things come from above. So God's not getting you. Here's an idea. Maybe you made bad decisions. Maybe you didn't consult him. Maybe you tried to do it your own way. But yet the first thing we do is what? God, what are you doing? God, what are you thinking? God, why don't you love me? Why have you turned your back on me? Why have you not let anything in my life work out? Why aren't you giving? Why don't you give me your favor? Because we're not seeking it. We're not asking for it. I'm going to share a little personal insight, and maybe you'll think I'm selfish. Maybe you'll think I'm crazy. My three boys right now play basketball. I'm a coach. Ask my wife. She's a basketball widow right now. She said, you need to take me on a date, coach. That's how we live. I mean, she gets it. She knows. She bless her heart. But I pray for favor for my boys when they step on the court. And it's not to score the most points. It's not to get a dunk. It's not to be the player of the game. It's that they glorify him in their actions. I pray for favor for myself. I'm competitive. If we play checkers and you're above 70, I'm going to try to beat you. That's how I roll. Show me a loser, or show me somebody likes to lose, I'll show you a loser. That's a bad attitude, but that's Ben Pletcher in a nutshell. And we laugh. But I pray for favor that God will be glorified, because that's the purpose. It's not how many points, how many games. We're having a good season. We got our tail kicked by Highland the other night, but life goes on. Now, why would I share that? Because when we pray for favor in the most trivial things, we have no issue praying for the big things. See, we'll take the big stuff to God. Hey, just found out I have cancer. God, where you at? Man, I'm $50 in my checkbook. Sure. Better get some overtime. Better go to eBay and sell something. See what I'm saying? Is there any correlation? When you say, well, Ben, cancer and $50 short is no different. If you've ever been $50 short in your checkbook, it can be as crazy as cancer. And I'm not downplaying cancer. I'm simply saying, we put perceptions on things. This leads me to a couple questions about God's favor. Number one, do we want it? Can we honestly say that we want God's favor? And I'm not talking about everybody in church. Yeah, me too. I'm saying in your core, in your very being, and you're the most center of yourself, can you say, I want God's favor? Yes. Two people. Y'all go home. Why? Why is that such a big deal? Because if you're not wanting it, then you obviously don't believe it. You're saying to yourself, I'm not good enough. I'm not obedient enough. I know what I did last week. I know the gossip that I spread, or I know what I said or what I thought. Do you think God doesn't know those things and He's still willing to give it if you seek it? We have got to develop, as Christians, as the body of Christ, a desire for God's favor. Why? Because He will bless you abundantly, and you will somewhere, somehow, get a chance to show a non-believer Jesus Christ. That's what favor's for. It's not to get me more junk. It's not to get me a nicer house. It's to get me to show somebody the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what favor's about. So if I'm not excited about saving or seeking it or finding it or having it, it's going to be pretty hard for me to use it. Question number two, do we value the favor of God? Depends on the day. Tomorrow morning, about 6:30, I'll probably favor a cup of coffee over God's favor just because I'm getting out of bed. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? But how many things in our lives do we put in front of God's favor? We don't count it as big a value, as important as whatever else we're seeking. Do you value God's favor? As a church, you guys are in a period of transition. What are you seeking? The right man? God's favor. More people to come? God's favor. Being very business-wise and shrewd? Or God's favor. Now, I'm not saying none of those other things are important, but if you're not looking for God's favor first, if you're not valuing that first, you're going to waste a lot of time and energy spinning your wheels. You ever waste the time and energy spinning your wheels? You look back and go, man, that was dumb. Question number three. Are we seeking, truly, honestly, wholeheartedly seeking God's favor? That means asking. That means understanding the value. That means saying, you know what, above everything else, this is what I want. Huh. How many people here know Jeremiah 29:11? Anybody know that verse? Somebody spit it out.
I know the plans I have for you. Prosper you, not to harm you.
Yeah. I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, to give you hope, to give you a future. How many people like that verse? How many people pray that verse? I got a sign in my dining room that says that on the wall. I love that one. Woo, God's got plans. God's got future. God's got hope. They don't have to do anything. Wrong answer. You know what verse 12 says? In those days when you pray, I will listen. Verse 13, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. Well, that was never on that painting in my dining room. Where did that stuff come from? Because God just doesn't give you stuff without you desiring Him. So if you want the future, if you want the hope, if you want the plan, 29, 11, 12, and 13. If you got a tattoo, you better get some more ink. I'm not endorsing tattoos, by the way. I'm simply saying, you can't have one without the other. Are we praying? God is listening. Are we seeking? Not just a, hey, God, help me out today. God, I need you. God, I want you to take me where you need to take me. God, I want to do what you want me to do. God, I need to be about your business today. I want to die to myself. I want to pick up my cross and follow you. I know what you're thinking. That sounds hard. Can be. What about getting up going to work every day? We're raising three teenagers, one's in college, one's getting married. You think that's easy? I'd rather have my wisdom teeth pulled all over again. And I love my kids, and they're here. It's hard. Back in Luke, what did the angel say to Mary? Well, she said, how is this possible? And he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And it goes on later and says, verse 37, for nothing is impossible for God. But that doesn't apply to me. You don't understand my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how I've been living. You don't understand how I've fallen or I've slid backwards or how I've not attended church faithfully every day. Do you think God has a checkbook? Ben went to church. Honestly, you think God cares about my church attendance? I'm not a betting man, but I beg to differ. I think he'd rather say how many days have you lived for me instead of how many days you come to a building. And I'm not saying don't go to church. You need to be in church for the communion and the fellowship. But I'm simply saying church needs to start Monday to Saturday outside those doors. You come here to get fired up. This is the pep rally. This is where we load the gun, hypothetically. Packing Christians, that's a whole other sermon. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 9. And actually, I'm going to read the last part of verse 8. Here, pages, so I'll give you a second here. The end of verse 8, this is what it says. It says, they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people. That's favored. When you're chosen, you're favored. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Amen. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received his mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, and you need to underline this, as aliens and strangers in the world, disdain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul, live as such good lives among the pagans that they may accuse you of doing wrong, that you may see the good deeds and glorify God as the day until he visits. Live like aliens. You ever gone somewhere and say, thank God I'm not from here? You know, I go up a lot to Michigan, and it's really weird because down here everybody hates Michigan. Up there, you're known as the worthless Buckeyes. I'm just telling you. Are you a worthless Buckeye? That's what they tell me. So I'm not from there. My dad was from Detroit. I'm a Michigan fan. You know what they say? Yeah, right. Down here, if I say that, you know what they say? Yeah, right. I'm not from anywhere, according to football fans. But sometimes we look at a place, we make a judgment, and we say, thank God I'm not from here. As a Christian, we should live in such a way people look at us and say, you're not of the world. Right now, is it hard to tell who's a Christian and who's not? If someone were to look at your life, your actions, your decisions, your discussions, if I were to ask you, give me your text message, I'm going to read the last 8. Anybody would hide their phone on me? My kids are always. They move. We are to live as aliens. We are to understand that there's going to be a war waged against our soul. But we have the favor of God. See, y'all don't believe it. We should be going, woo! If I said the Buckeyes won the national title, I'd get a bigger cheer than that. I'm going to say one word, Clemson, then I'm out. See, you didn't think I could get that in while I was here, did you? Hey, we lost two, just won by 31, but anyway. We are to live such good lives among the pagans that they're going to accuse you of doing wrong. What does that mean? I'm going to ask a very personal question. Can you be honest with me? Don't say a name out loud, okay? Do you all know somebody that you can't stand because it always works out for them? Honestly, think about that for a minute. It doesn't matter what they touch, what they do, where they eat. They're going to get a free meal. It's going to work out, and it's never as good as it works out for me. Anybody got that person in your mind? That's living in such a way that people don't understand it. I look at the other side of the coin. That's the favor of God. Now, I'm not saying that rotten people get good things. I'm just simply saying that sometimes when we live in such a way, and God will put that favor on your life, you're going to be accused of being something you shouldn't. You're a cheater. You're a liar. You're a hustler. You ask my wife, she said, how do you say that? Something where I'm always favored, things always work out for me. You have a name for it. I think she said crap. I don't know. But anyway, we won't get there. Sorry I said crap in church. But we live in such a way that the world, they accuse you of doing something wrong. That is a sign of the favor of God. That's not to get you arrogant. That's not to get you puffed up and say, hey, look at me. That's because God has a purpose for that favor. God has something for you to do with that purpose. So where does that leave us? Favor is not abundance. Favor is a responsibility. The other thing that we do as humans, we limit what we think we should do based on what we have. If you're only relying on God to be as big as your resources, you are cheating yourself and whoever you're trying to witness to. Because God is much, much greater than anything you can conjure up, manufacture, or do. I promise. But you have to believe that He'll do the same for you. Favor is something that as we study and as we spend time with, we grow up in wisdom and stature and favor with God, that we know that it has to be a part of who we become. It's not selfish to ask for God's favor. The Word said He goes around looking for people that are desiring His favor. Because if you're not desiring His favor, you're going to go find that favor somewhere else. You're going to take refuge or security in something other than Him. So why not seek Him? Why not go for the greatest? Why not go for the best? We need to understand that favor is always partnered with the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to say, well, Ben, I don't know how I'm supposed to ask for favor. What's the Holy Spirit known as? The Comforter, the Counselor. Jesus said Himself, it's better that I leave and He comes than I stay and He doesn't. So that's pretty important, this whole Holy Spirit thing. See, I think the church has gotten past the whole scary, when I get the Holy Spirit, I talk weird, crazy, my eyes roll back in my head, I fall in it, you know, all that stuff. That's all Hollywood. The Holy Spirit is simply your best friend. When you get a gut feeling, happened today with my wife and I in church. I'm not going to tell you how, I'm just saying while we were here, it happened. I didn't say a word. She looked at me, fist bump, go God. Praise Jesus for that. And it's trivial. And again, I don't want to share because I don't want you to say, oh, it's not about that. I look for the little God moments. When I pastored here, I would look and seek for the little signs that I was on the right path. Why? Because I'm like Hansel and Gretel, man. I need to find them breadcrumbs. Because if not, guess who's making the directions? And I know, Ben, it's going to be the easiest, shortest, least amount of resistance way I can find, because I am lazy. Am I the only one? Praise God. Are we living as aliens? Are we living differently? Has that favor caused us to look different than the world? I want you to take a snapshot of your life right now, and I want you to think about not all the stuff that's going right. Let's look at all the stuff that's frustrating right now. Anybody here got frustrations? Anybody here got a wish list that they wish they didn't have it or they wish it would happen? Number one, replace wish with prayer. Just saying, there's an easy way to start. But let's look at these areas of your life that maybe aren't going the way that you want them. How much favor are you seeking from God in that area? I know, oh, that's selfish. Oh, no, it's not. We already said God desires to give us His favor. And those areas that you're struggling with, are you allowing them to become bigger than who He is? Bigger than what He can do? All the promises in the Word. The Word says, I look for people that tremble at My Word. In other words, that they look at it and go, holy cow, if I don't do that, I've got a problem. Most of us grab our phone and go, I wonder what Facebook says. Oh, look, I got 30 likes. Am I lying? We live in a generation that seeks acceptance. We serve a Savior that accepts everybody. But what are we seeking? What are we looking for? What do we want? So I'm going to challenge you. This is a time where I'm going to call you out. Maybe you feel like God has not bestowed his favor upon you. Maybe you feel like, you know what, I've kind of blended in. I'm not an alien. It would be hard for someone to tell the difference between me and a Christian. I'm not even just people that go to church. Satan goes to church. I want to challenge you right now to look at your life and say, does God's favor have value to me? Do I want God's favor? Do I even want to be as bold to say that I want God's favor? The third thing is, what are you doing about it? You come here on Sunday morning, you hear a message, you sing some songs, you're in the presence of your Savior. Are you any different than you walk back out? You know, Moses met with God, his face was so bright, he had to wear a hood, a veil. People couldn't stand to look at him. I get that anyway. It's not because I hang out with God, it's just because of who I am. I want to take like 5 minutes, and I want you to sit down, and I want you to think about where you're at in your walk. Look at your prayer life. If you pray about the same thing every day, then I'm going to tell you you're not seeking his favor, trusting he's going to deliver. If you don't believe that you are saved by grace, or that if you were to die today that you're going to heaven, then you don't know who Jesus Christ is. She said it best, you're not connected. There's nothing worse than being disconnected and not knowing it. So I'm going to pray, and I don't know if you guys sing a song, whatever you all want to do, I don't care, and I'm going to get out of the way, the elders can come forward, but I want to challenge you that if you want to seek God's favor, then you come to this altar and you tell him what you want. You tell him where you're at, because the good thing is he already knows. But just like that Jeremiah passage, pray and he will listen, seek wholeheartedly and you'll find. Don't just walk down and pray and say, poof, I'm done, it's going to work out. You have got a responsibility. You have got a responsibility to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you for your favor. I thank you that you give us your word to measure our life against. Lord, so many times we hear things like favor and we get afraid. We think we're not worthy. These are lies of the enemy. I ask that you silence him now, that you remove him from this room, that he is not allowed to be here. Lord, that as we come to this time, that we can come to the altar, Lord, if we have not sought out your favor, that if we have not sought you wholeheartedly, that, Lord, we make a change. Because we complain a lot. We say you're not doing your job, but, Lord, sometimes it's just us not doing ours. Lord, I pray that we leave here different than when we got here, that this is not about how good we are, how much Scripture we know. This is about your grace and the fact that we want to be closer to you, want to look more like you every day. Lord, I pray if there's someone in this crowd today that they need to turn their life over for the first time to Jesus Christ, that they have the courage to stand up and do it. If there's somebody that's been a Christian for a long time and just kind of got off the path and got into cruise control, Lord, I pray you wake them up. Lord, if we have not asked for your favor or sought your face, Lord, may we do it today. May we evaluate where we're at in our relationship with you. May we look at every situation that's going on in our lives, and Lord, we give them to you open-handed. We trust you to take us to where we need to go. And we thank you for loving us even when we're disobedient, we're unlovable, and sometimes, Lord, we're just flat-out stubborn. Lord, help us to leave here changed. Help us to be in your favor. Help us to link that favor to your purpose. Lord, help us to know what you've called us to do. But first and foremost, Lord, we have got to know you. And I pray that if we do not, that we do not leave this place until we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you guys want to come down, we'll sing a song. Elders, do your thing. I'm going to sit down and get out of the way.
Stay and pray with us.
I can do that.
I think this song seems to be appropriate. It's called Changed. I came up out of the water, raised my hands up to the Father. Gave it all to him that day. I felt a new wind kiss my face. Walked away with eyes wide open. I could finally see where I was going. It didn't matter where I'd been. Not the same man I was then. Track of me. things I've done, man, it's not me. Wish I could take them all back. I just wanna tell them that. Tell them that I got off track and made mistakes. Backstood my way through that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, pain won't go away. In my knees, now here I stand. There I was, now here I am. Here I am. I've changed for the better. More smiles, less bitter. I'm even starting to forgive
turn it off. I wasn't sure what to hit.